Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast, by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy for the second time today, Bruce. And you're none too happy, I understand. The Oilers just bought out Eric Greiba. And why?
Why? Yeah, by the faithful, yeah. Well, I'm losing faith, I got to say. To me, Peter Chiarelli has lost the plot. I just don't understand this move. There's three rationales for it, all of them weak as far as I'm concerned in the big picture. One is to give Eric a fresh start in another organization, even as you're buying him out and clawing money out of his pocket. So if you want to call that doing him a solid, then great. The second one is that it opens up a spot on the 50-man list, which the Oilers had 40 players. Now they have 39 on the list. I know, how about you just don't go out and sign Brian Ferland on July 3rd and you keep Eric Greiba and you bury his $900,000 contract in the minors and then he's an unrestricted free agent.
Bruce, just cap. I need to cut in for a second, Bruce. Yep. Your vendetta against Brian Ferland.
That was the worst signing. That was the worst signing. Anyway,
what's the third?
Is that it was done to save Daryl Cates $300,000 because I only have to pay Greiba $600,000 instead of $900,000. So it saves $300,000 in real cash. And arguably, I mean, it might save $900,000 because now they have $300,000 less to spend on other players in each of the next 2 years. When your marginal cap hit is as tight as it already was, the Oilers have kind of painted themselves into a corner. They got over $68 million committed to players. They have Strome and Nurse yet to sign. That's another probably $6 million or close to it. So now you've got $6 million left. Everything left, you just took $300,000 away from that. For what?
So let's just lay it out for people who aren't familiar with the cap. I'll do that. Greiba would have cost, was it $900,000 this year? But they could have sent him to the minors, sent him to the AHL, and none of that would have counted against the Oilers cap. He would have got the $900,000. Because they bought him out, he gets paid $600,000, correct?
Over 2 years.
Over 2 years. But over the cap hit isn't this year for the Oilers. It's $300,000.
This year
and this year and next year. So for the next 2 years, there would have been no cap hit for Greiba if they had sent him to the minors. Instead, because they bought him out, there's going to be $300,000 this year, $300,000 the year after. So again, when you're tight up to the cap as the Oilers are, and they really are this time around, that's significant. Of course, they might decide, Bruce, to go with, instead of having, 21 players at the NHL level, they could go with 20 through the season and save some money that way. But they could have done that anyway. Bruce, here's the only thing I'm going to say maybe in favor of this deal is you were going to send him to Bakersfield, and he would have taken playing time from a player like Ethan Bear on the right side. Who else have they got? They got Lagesson. They got Caleb Jones down there. They got Ryan Mantha. They got a number of young defensemen. They don't need him down there. He's just taking up space. So in that way, they're unclogging things at the AHL level. Of course, they could have just sent him to the ECHL all year long, which would have been a tough pill to swallow, but you have 900,000 things to make you feel better about being in the AHL. So
I think there may actually be a rule about bearing guys on NHL contracts in the ECHL, but they could lend them to another AHL team like they did with Mark Payne last year, for example, where he wasn't clogging up space in Bakersfield. They bit their bullet on him, paid him, so at least there's no buyout on Mark Payne, and they loaned him, I think, to another AHL team. I mean, there's lots of options that you can do with these veteran players. Somebody's looking for an Eric Greiba on their blue line somewhere. And if they aren't, then how do you explain that he was worth getting a 2-year contract 1 year ago?
I don't think it's about the money, Bruce, that Cates is saving. And I don't really think it's about the extra roster spot when you have so many roster spots at this point. I think it might have had to do with maybe maybe they thought it might be difficult to place this player. He's just a distraction having this player around. And for team building reasons, it's only 300,000 this year, next year. So for team building reasons, they, I think that's, and then the, but I think the most likely explanation is that they wanted to do this player a favor. Does it, does that strike you as the most likely explanation? Because I can't think, like, why the hell else would you do this? It doesn't make any other sense other than.
If you want to do him a favor, pay him $900,000 to play in the minors. And, you know, live up to your commitment that you made 1 year ago for a two-year deal. Pay the guy and move on from him in, 12 months from now. As opposed to taking a chunk out of your ability to compete in the NHL for the next two seasons. Now, granted, it's a small chunk. It just doesn't make sense to me. To me as a fan, now, it's different, I guess, to Daryl Cates working with real money with his, you know, pay system and stuff. To me as a fan, the currency, the single most important currency is cap space. And they just pissed away $600,000 in cap space for no reason that satisfies me as being reasonable.
I don't think it's Cates's money, saving the money, Bruce. I don't think 300 grand. I mean, I don't think it's about that. But you have persuaded me that it's not doing Greiba a favor, unless of course, Greiba's good enough to get a contract with another NHL team. But that's highly debatable that Greiba can get another contract. So you're right. Like, there's no favor to Greiba. He's just out $300,000. And I guess he can go to Europe and earn some amount of money that will make up. He could probably make $300,000 in Europe. So he's probably not going to be out that money. He can get on with his career in Europe. I don't see him finding another NHL home. I'll be very surprised if he does find an NHL home with the way the league has gone and his level of play last year, which was exceedingly marginal. So it sounds like this seems to be the Greiba that broke the camel's back, Bruce.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the previous
deals that he made, you know, and including the deals that people say as bad deals, like, there was at least some logic to him. You can understand why he wanted to fix the defense with the Larson trade. And in theory, with the Reinhardt trade, even though obviously that deal went right off the rails at source. But at least the theory behind it made a tiny bit of sense. I just don't get the theory. And when I'm thinking that our GM just on a competitive basis, just blew off some of his own competitive. To me, it's like me going and taking the contents of my wallet and flushing it down the toilet. It's not going to break me. You know, it's not going to put me in the poorhouse. It won't help. But what's the point? Like, why? And when you're talking about the valuable currency that is cap space in the modern NHL, especially a dwindling amount of cap space because of all the big contracts that have been signed, he's lost me on this deal. I just cannot make sense of it, and I cannot defend it.
Fair enough. I can't. You know, the reasons for doing it don't make any sense. Like, I can't figure out why they did it. His explanations when he talked to the media today just didn't make any sense there either. He just
brushed it off, and it was a consideration, but not a big one. Hello, cap space is not a big consideration. Like, you got $6 million left, and you just pissed away 5% of that. For what?
This reminds me, Bruce, of the movie The Year of Living Dangerously, where the leader of the what was it, Indonesia?
Linda Hunt was in that.
Yeah. So Linda Hunt had been kind of supporting the leader of Indonesia all along. But finally had enough and turned against the leader of Indonesia. And it's when the journalist saw that he realized this shit has really hit the fan. Well, this is your Linda Hunt moment.
Well, I'd like to think that I'm not a full-blooded 100% defender of Peter Chiarelli. I mean, I did write a 3,000-word post this year, Can Peter Chiarelli Survive His Season from Hell? Stuff has gone wrong for this guy. But when he starts pissing away assets and competitive advantages for nebulous reasons, then, you know, that's to me a sign that he's lost the plot, as I said before, and that's scary. And when you're talking about the day before the draft and the biggest trading deal of the season, when you're losing faith in your GM, that's a very sinking feeling.
Yeah, I have a fear that he's going to make a bad trade. I mean, we all do, I think. And Yeah, not good. Not good at all. I mean, a lot's going to happen. There's lots of moving pieces, moving parts at this time of year. And so before I kind of judge Shirelli's work this June in this crucial period, I want to see everything that happens until July 15th. I know you're in the same boat. And I also totally acknowledge, Bruce, that you ripped them in your post earlier this year. So, I'm just not having a strong reaction to this. I just want to, I agree with everything you're saying that this doesn't make any sense, but I want to see before I say fire Shirelli, before I write the fire Shirelli post, I want to see what happens. And he's here. He's going to do this until the end, till mid July at least. So let's see what he does. And maybe he's going to redeem himself like Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber.
You have to judge the whole picture and the team at the end of the day. But usually the individual moves in there make some sense towards the long-term picture. And to me, the asset lost here, the cap hit for 2 years, is by far the bigger factor than a spot on the 50-man list where you already got 10 spots available or three.
But Bruce, what about Brian Ferlin? I mean, are you just throwing that guy under the bus again?
Well, you could put Greiba in Ferlin's spot because he's going to be, unless maybe they're planning to re-sign Ferlin and they're trying to make room for him.
Well, I should hope so. I mean, give the guy a break. I've always been so hard on him. All right.
Games that he played for, they paid him $100,000 a game, you know, in terms of Brian Ferlin.
Anyway, and what is wrong with that, you cold-hearted Oilers fan, you? All right. Thanks, Bruce, for talking.
Yeah, we'll talk. You can talk about the rest of Shirelli's talk today. This one move kind of dominates my thinking at this moment.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for listening and watching, everyone.
And in the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast/broadcast.